Morant with a running start. Elevates. Oh, it dunks. Oh, my goodness. Jonathan. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's good. Memphis on top. 17.
Conley now with three.
Count it.
A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what, a little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow Griffin. In.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish. The Grizzlies go to Miami and defeat the Miami Heat. The Grizzlies were slightly shorthanded. No Brandon Clark, no D'Anthony Melton, still no Justice Winslow, no Jaren Jackson Jr., and they take care of business, I'll say, handily. They won nearly comfortably. They pulled away with an incredible second half, much like they did against the 76ers. The 76ers game, they had a kind of an incredible team third quarter where they had scored the second most points in a quarter in franchise history. In this game, Dylan Brooks went off, finished with 28. He had 23 points in the third quarter alone. This was the second 20-point quarter of Dylan's career. If you remember, he did it his rookie year against the Bulls near the end of the season. The 23 points in this third quarter, they're the most by any Grizzlies player this season in a quarter. They're the second most points in a quarter ever in Grizzlies franchise history. The most points in a quarter in Grizzlies franchise history is Jaren Jackson Jr. That was a game against the Bucks last year where Jaren hit a bunch of three-pointers. You might remember, I think he banked in his last one. John Morant didn't play in that game. Grizzlies ended up losing, but it was kind of surprising they were hanging in there against the mighty Bucks last season. But Dylan Brooks erupts in the third quarter. There's some thought you might want to connect it to those statements he made way back at the 2020 trade deadline when he kind of called out Andre Iguodala for not wanting to be part of the Grizzlies team. He said that he couldn't wait until we find a way to trade him, speaking about Iguodala, so we can play him and show him what Memphis is really about. And if you remember, in the bubble last year, they had an exhibition game against the Heat where the Grizzlies blew out the Heat. Meaningless game. It was an exhibition. It was a preseason warm-up game to the actual bubble. In that game, Dylan Brooks went off. He had 23 points on 8 of 12 shooting. Andre Iguodala did not play in the earlier meeting this season where the Grizzlies won. That slugfest where the Grizzlies won by only scoring 89 points. Dylan didn't have a great game in that, but of course no Iguodala to show up. This is the first regular season game that Dylan Brooks has played against Andre Iguodala, and Dylan had his moment. Are they related? Probably not, but is it something Dylan Brooks was aware of? I think so. He was asked about it after the game, and he's kind of, Dylan Brooks mentioned, yeah, I think Iguodala understands the kind of players that we have here. So a big night for Dylan Brooks, a big night for Kyle Anderson with just an absolutely awesome game. The first half by Kyle Anderson, he was basically the Grizzlies' Jimmy Butler in this first half. This is a guy who hadn't made more than 2 3-pointers in a game until this season, and he goes out again, and he puts up 3 3-pointers in the first half. He has 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He was kind of everywhere, keeping the Grizzlies in this game. Him and Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas Valanciunas with another just rock-solid game. Jonas Valanciunas scored 15 points in the first quarter, matching the most he scored in a quarter in his time on the Grizzlies. That's according to Grizzlies PR. Grizzlies PR also letting us know that Jonas Valanciunas tied Zach Randolph for the longest streak of having double-digit rebounds. He's now had double-digit rebounds in 18 straight games, so ties the Grizzlies franchise record for the most consecutive games of having double-digit rebounds. Jonas Valanciunas was, I think I used the term rock last episode, but he really was. He's just been the anchor for this team, and I feel like some of his negative offensive tendencies, and he still gets picked apart on defense a good bit, but some of his negative offensive tendencies to go at maybe better defenders and try to do post moves and things, I feel like that has kind of faded away recently. And maybe that's just anecdotal and the stats don't actually back that up, but I feel like he's been much more efficient in only attempting shots when he's set up by an assist or when he's getting an offensive rebound and doing a putback. He's also been making all of his free throws, which is nice to see from a big man. In the last 10 games, Jonas is 32 for 35 from the free throw line. That's 91.4%. So he's in a good groove from the free throw line and in a good groove overall. Since the All-Star break, in the 16 games since the All-Star break, he's now averaging 17.4 points per game, 14.4 rebounds per game, and you know, he's shooting 79% from the line, which is close to kind of what he shot last year. But Jonas has been really big for the Grizzlies. And this front line, the starters in the front line, you know, Jonas, Kyle, and Dylan having great games to carry them over the Miami Heat because the backcourt did not have it going on. I mean, Grayson Allen gave you kind of nothing. Ja Morant, I think we can call it as just a bad game. He had 7 turnovers, only 4 assists, 3 for 8 from the field. He only attempted 1 shot in the first half, and now in the last 3 games, in the first halves of the last 3 games, he's made a grand total of 2 field goals. So he's being very passive, or he's trying to set other guys up in the first half, and he's not really finding his shot. His 9-game streak of making at least 1 3-pointer ended tonight. He was 0 for 4 from 3, so he ended up just 22 games behind the franchise record held by Tyreek Evans. The bench in this game really came through. That was, I guess, a big question mark coming in. So without Melton and without Brandon Clark, the big question is, you know, who is going to play? Who's going to fill in that rotation? I wasn't very optimistic coming into this game, mainly because I didn't know what was going to happen with the second unit. I was worried we would see some kind of, you know, Sean McDermott, Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bain, Tyus Jones. And I thought, well, that's probably not going to work at all. And what ended up happening was John Conchar made his return to the rotation. Conchar had a very nice game. Just was very consistent, very solid. And this makeshift second unit, which was Tyus Jones with 3 rookies, which was, you know, Desmond Bain, Killian Tilly, and Xavier Tillman, and then Conchar, they did work. They took care of business against the Miami Heat second unit. They grew the lead for the Grizzlies, and that was a big reason that, yes, you know, Jonas and Kyle had great games, and Dylan Brooks went off and is the big hero for the game. But without the second unit kind of holding serve and even gaining some points there, maybe the Grizzlies don't end up pulling it out. So I'm very impressed by those guys staying ready and putting together some nice minutes. And Desmond Bain, just actually a really good game. He played some nice defense on Oladipo, knocked down some shots when they were needed. But just a really great win, and I'm kind of giddy about it because it was one of those unexpected wins. I talked a lot about how the Grizzlies are just winning games. Maybe they're supposed to win, and they lose the ones they're supposed to lose, and there's not a lot of surprise, I guess, about some of these games. But this game was a surprise, I think. And the win over the Sixers, you know, that was a tiny surprise. I mean, the way it happened, possibly both these have been surprises. But the team is playing really, really well. They've now won 7 out of 10. All 3 of those losses in their last 10 games are against the Utah Jazz. So the Grizzlies are showing again that they win with depth. They win with defense, and they've got a nice thing going, and things are shaking out pretty nicely for them in the playoff race. So they've been winning their games. Like I said, they won 7 of 10, and they've covered, if you're a gambler, they've covered 9 of their last 10 games. So not quite getting the respect of the bettors and the betting lines, but the Grizzlies have covered 9 of their last 10 games. The Grizzlies are also now 13-6 against the East. And we've pointed out some of those wins are over shorthanded teams, but tonight, you know, the Heat were full strength. And even if they are shorthanded, you know, you beat the Nets twice, you beat the Sixers twice, you know, you go 4-0 against those top teams. You at least don't have to play them again full strength. So you've taken care of those. You've gotten those hard teams off your schedule. And the Grizzlies right now are feasting on the Eastern Conference. They've started this road trip 2-0. You know, we know they have 11. They had 11 of their next 14. Now only 9 of their next 12 on the road. So the road trip is going well. And like I was saying, the playoffs are shaking out pretty good for them because some of the other teams around them have tripped up just a little bit. With the win over the Heat, the Grizzlies stay firmly in 8th place now. They're a game ahead of the Spurs. The Spurs have been on a bit of a skid. They lost a couple overtime games, but they've lost 3 straight, and they're only 2-8 in their last 10 games. The Sacramento Kings, you know, won some games, but now have lost 4 straight. The Pelicans have lost 3 of 4. They've had some injuries. The Warriors unfortunately pulled out a win over the Milwaukee Bucks on Tuesday night. Before that, the Warriors had lost 7 of 8. So all that to say, the teams in 9th and 10th and 11th and such, they have been losing while the Grizzlies have been winning at a nice little clip. And so the Grizzlies are currently 4 games ahead of the 11th place Pelicans. I mean, they're a game up on the Spurs. They got some distance between them and the Warriors, and then you got the Pelicans in 11th. So the Grizzlies, you know, the computer models all basically have them definitely making the play-in and favored to actually make the playoffs. So right now with the Grizzlies playing as strong as they're playing, and obviously their schedule keeps going. And one of the big concerns from this Grizzlies game tonight is Ja Morant left with a bit of a sore back. And after the game, he said he was fine. He told Grizzlies fans not to worry. He said he's fine. But if we know the Grizzlies, we assume that means he's going to miss the game on Wednesday against the Hawks. The Hawks on Tuesday night went 11-for-11 from 3 in the third quarter. That's an NBA record for the most makes without a miss from 3 in a quarter. The Hawks, I mean, they helped out the Grizzlies by beating the Pelicans, but now Grizzlies Hawks on Wednesday night, and you know it's highly possible that Ja Morant has to sit that one out. I would expect Brandon Clark to be back. The way Taylor Jenkins talked about him before the game, it sounded like, you know, we think he's close, but you know, he's probably ready for tomorrow, so we're going to give him an extra day. So maybe Brandon Clark will be back. I mean, Xavier Tillman off the bench has been excellent. One of the reasons I've been bemoaning some of these small ball lineup choices earlier in the season was because that meant Xavier Tillman was out of the rotation. And I feel like he's pretty valuable. And I really enjoy his minutes and think those bigger lineups or just getting Xavier Tillman on the court feels like it's more important or more advantageous for the Grizzlies than whatever experimentation they want to do with like a Ja and Tyus backcourt or Dylan at the 4 or something like that. I really like Xavier Tillman and what we've seen from him. And he started to knock down that three-pointer, that standstill three-pointer a little bit, showing a nice little weapon that he could have. He still, you know, misses some bunnies every now and then and isn't the most impressive rebounder in traffic, but I've been encouraged from what Xavier Tillman has delivered. So, you know, will he be back playing with Brandon Clark on the second unit on Wednesday night? We think, I'm guessing Clark will be there. As far as what happens with, you know, Melton and Ja Morant, those will be the big mysteries. But anyway, that's all I got for this little quick wrap up. The Grizzlies taking care of business again against the Miami Heat. A very good win for the Grizzlies, who now find themselves a couple games over 500 and feeling optimistic about themselves, I would think. Anyway, thank you guys for checking out this episode. Have a good one. Go Grizz.